All right, declare, say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. All right, the Lord is good. All right, quickly, let's open our Bibles to the book of second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I think I should start from there. I want to read something. For a moment, let me just say we are continuing what I was sharing last time concerning the prophetic confession versus prophetic confessions. All right? Let's start from that book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to explain something today about the spirit of faith. Paul explains something here. Let me just start from verse 7. Where I'm going is actually verse 13, but I just like to back up a bit so as to read what we are reading in context. Now he said, but we have this treasure, okay, in earthen vessels. Before that, he was talking about their apostleship and how they are walking and refusing to compromise the word of God. There's God that is working in us and is causing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ to shine through us. So he said, we are not preaching ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. Now in verse 7, he now says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. He said, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. He said, we also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. He now said, therefore we do not lose heart, that though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, having read this and studied it, my conviction is that the proper translation should be that though our outward man is decaying, yet from inside we are being renewed day by day. Why? Because for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then he went ahead to discuss in chapter 5. But let's just stop here. Now, why am I reading this? If you know, last time I explained a particular principle to us concerning the prophetic word as against the positive speaking that we sometimes practice in Christianity. What we do is that we think, and you know, there's some truth to it. I keep on emphasizing. Sometimes when you speak, people think that what you are referring to, even though people have testimonies that they work, that you are saying things, you are disagreeing with what works. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that life has different realms. There is a realm in which you use the energy of your soul to get results. Like I said the other time, anything you do in life must be powered. No matter how beautiful the aircraft is, you need to put fuel inside. A very big aircraft, some of these heavy jetliners, they cost as much as if you had to buy them cash and pay complete at a go. You can pay for some of them as much as $300 million for one single aircraft. Those are the commercial ones. I mean, I remember then, I think when A380 Airbus, I don't know how much they finally sold it. But initial price that they advertised was $550 million for one aircraft, all right? They're that expensive. But you see, each time you want to fly with all the money, you have to put fuel inside. That fuel may just be a few hundreds of thousands of dollars, all right, for one trip. But without that fuel, which is relatively inexpensive compared to the plane, that plane is not going anywhere. So all these things in life I've explained must be powered. Again, let me just quickly digress. So like I was saying earlier, some of these principles, it will appear as if they are working. They can show you that this was what God did. They can show you, so it will not appear as if I want to take the principles of God and use them. All right? But there's this little mistake we make, that it's possible to take the principles of God and operate them outside God. And that's no longer Christianity. Are you getting my point? It's very important you understand that. You can take some principles of God and operate them outside Him. For example, I can make a car, all right? And I made a car for a purpose. Then you take the car away and drive it and go and do the will that is not in accordance with my will. Yes, it's my car. Yes, it works just the way it would have worked if I used it. But because you don't know what I made it for, you'll be using it for a wrong purpose. So that if we say that, yeah, this is how God did things, for us in Christianity, no matter what we understand, our weapons must be mighty through God. They must work through Him. They can never work independent of Him, even though we think they can get results. Actually, those who ate of the tree of the knowledge of good, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's what they were saying. They were taking the things of God and using them independently. That was why He said, man has become like one of us. God said it. Man has become like one of us, able to, you know, discern between good and evil, able to make decisions and create things the way He wanted them to be. And that's why when they got the Tower of Babel, part of that principle was that if God, the Godhead, could agree, they would do anything. So the human being said, if we all agree also, we can do something. So let us build a tower unto ourselves for our own glory. And God said, if they have agreed to do this thing, it will be done. No, nothing will be able to stop them. Yes, these are the principles of God. So you can use the principles of God and use them against Him. So the fact that somebody tells you that he saw a principle outlined in the scriptures does not mean that the fellow is doing what is right. And that's the mistake people make when we don't understand these things. All right? We just say, okay, the principle of confession. You can confess and kill somebody. I'm not joking about it. You can use your confession to kill a human being. You can become an accuser. And you tell the fellow, like I say all the time, tell the fellow, die, 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 die. If you tell him to die for long enough, and three of you can agree that the man should die, if three of you shall agree as touching who shall die, you understand my point? The person may actually end up dying if he or she doesn't have power to keep him against your onslaught. You may not realize that many Christians are practicing nothing but witchcraft. They are using the same principles, but because they see something like that in the scriptures, they now think that we are doing that which is in accordance with divine order. Okay, but actually what they are doing is taking the things of God and using them very wrongly. So be very careful. So if someone says that, put a picture on your wall and begin to declare and you confess and draw that photograph, put the building the way you want it. Look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it. Yes, one day it will come to pass. It does not mean God granted it to you. It means you have taken spiritual principles and applied them with the energy of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not with the energy of the tree of life. Are you getting my point? You have taken what is spiritual and you have applied it against God, and God one day will bring His judgment against it. Just like He brought His judgment against Adam and Eve in the garden and He kicked them out, one day also He will most certainly bring His judgment against that which you have done, thinking you are doing that which is in agreement with His will. So you see that, I put a picture there and keep on calling it. Like I was saying, each thing is going to need energy. Each principle is powered by energy. They don't just stay by themselves. And what the energy they are using is the energy of the human soul, which eventually will get exhausted. One day you are going to download something that is heavier than you, and it will kill. That's not my point. Yes, you are going to have, you will have accomplished much, and then you will die. People don't realize that what happened is that your soul energy is exhausted. And we Christians, that's what we are careful about. We are careful to ensure that anything we do is powered with the energy of God. And that thing is what we call grace. If you get results in life, it must be powered with the energy of God. You don't use your own energy to get results in life. That's why Jesus said, it is vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late eating the bread of sorrows. That is, if you work so hard and you get the result, you're actually eating the bread of sorrows. It's not as if you will never get results. You will. It's just that it's what the Bible calls the bread of sorrows. He said to Adam, he didn't tell Adam, you will never be able to accomplish anything again. He never said that to Adam. What did he say to Adam? He said, in the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread until you will become so exhausted that you will return to the dust from where you came. I don't know whether you got that point he was trying to say there. That is, you will work, you will labor until you're exhausted, and one day you drop and you die. Death will come out of exhaustion. Because that working of your life will wear you out, one day you will drop. That's the process. You see, before now, my life would have brought results into your life. But now, you are going to sweat. From the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread until you will have so sweated, your whole life will have sweated away, and then your body will now return to the dust because there's no longer any energy to carry on. So we Christians are careful that we don't use the energy of our souls to power our lives and get results in life, but that we use the energy of God. So if you say, okay, look at it, begin to consider it, contemplate it, sit down, focus on it until it begins to materialize, no problem. This is your Boeing 787 is flying. Don't worry. This is your 747 is flying. The only problem is that what fuel is he using? All that concentration is the energy of your soul. All that begin to imagine is the energy of your soul. Wake up every morning, declare, is the energy of your soul. One day, what you are getting is the result of sweat from your brow. On one day, you will return to the earth. Because dust thou art, you have been operating the principle of dust. Instead of you to leave that realm and come to higher realms, you are sticking with that realm and, this is the annoying part. You start giving testimony of it works. It works. It works. It is working. Listen, my friend, you are dying. You are dying. You are dying. Your energy is going. Do you get my point? Now, what I want to do in life, make sure that you live your life in such a manner that you can truly give God glory, that you can actually go to sleep, because God gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. Very important to understand this, as I'm saying. That is why I said last time, let me say it again. For believers, we are not using all our energy to confess things. No. What we just do is tap into the energy of God. We ensure that his power is flowing into what we are doing. We ensure that we are literally mounting on wings like an eagle. That is, this is the idea about the eagle zone that is being carried by the draft, that is, by the energy of the spirit, literally. Because the word wind, air, in the Hebrew and also in the Greek, is the same word for spirit. That is, so we are being carried by the blowing of the spirit, so that the spirit blows us to where God wants us to go. That is the important thing about Christianity. That's why I concluded last time when I was explaining that. So we are not taking time out to arrange the details of our lives. We know that the lines will fall for us in pleasant places. Why? Simply because the word of God is living and active. Remember, active is what most people know. Most people are not aware of the living aspect. The living aspect means that the word thinks. It's a living being. That's the meaning. It wasn't just trying to explain to us that the word of God is powerful. We know. He was telling us the word of God has sense. Let me put it like that. It can make decisions. It can plot your life. It can take you to a place that you never thought about. So what are we supposed to do? That's what I'm talking about today, the spirit of faith. The continuation of that, our discussion on prophetic confession versus positive confession. What I've said so far is that positive confession is often nothing more than human beings using the machinery of the spirit, a spirit now, not spirit of God, but the realm of the spirit, using it with their own energy to bring it to pass. Whereas prophetic confession is when we take the word of God and apply it to our lives. And when I say apply it, now, I don't mean just obey the principles, but we declare those words over our life. We rub it on our system. And then what we are doing is allowing the Spirit of God to flow into it and create events. And I said the Spirit of God, the Word of God thinks. That's what the Bible was saying in that book of Hebrews chapter 4. It thinks. It knows when to give us power for something. It knows how to arrange things you did not confess. You know, because you cannot confess things you don't know about. You can only confess things that you have heard before, you have seen before, things you are able to imagine. But the Word of God brings into your life things you never knew existed. People you did not even know are able to help you. They may be around you, you don't know. You are confessing that, that big man is going to come from Lagos today, and he's going to give me this. He'll connect me with this. Meanwhile, the man who is beside you, saying that, you know, that you are discountenancing his presence. He's the one that God actually has put his salvation, your salvation in his hands. But you don't realize it. But because you are so focused on what you can call to be, that's why I said all those pictures on your wall, tear them. Tear them. It's not necessary. God will make all grace abound towards you. Say amen.
Amen.
That's what you need. The word will plan and bring something into your life that you never thought about. That is what we are talking about. That is what it is. Spiritual things, that's for us believers, is not the ability, that is the way we walk in the spirit, is not the ability to... Those people get confused. That's why they will tell you that these are the things that Muslims do and they get results. Once you hear that, just know it's not the word of God. Because the word of God, you can never use it and get results except you have believed in the Lord Jesus. Why? That word has been made valid only because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say Muslims have used it and it's working, and they said they're able to use it without giving their lives to Christ, it's not grace. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 4, it has to be by faith, he said, if it is going to be in accordance with grace. It is by knowing some principles and working, and anybody can use it, whether you're a Guru Maharaj or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist and even Christians, then it is not grace. And what God came to give us in Jesus Christ was grace and truth. Grace and truth, he said, were realized through Jesus Christ. We must understand this. So somebody tells that, look, this is how everybody does, and again, he said, listen, it won't work. Like now, I say, you know the one I teach all the time. So everybody knows I want to just give you, just get. I said, if Muslims can do that, say, yeah, then that's not the one I want. How do I get there for? I say, I have found out the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in that he was rich. Then for my sake, he became poor so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Now, that's the point I'm talking about. That's where we're going. That's a word. Somebody say, that's a word.
It's the word of God.
No, say that. Say, it's the word of God.
What I'm
trying to say, that word is alive. That word can think. That word knows the kind of business that is good for you. Are you getting my point? That word knows the kind of career that is yours. That word knows the kind of empowerment that God created you to carry. That word knows. It knows the kind of people you should interact with when you're doing business. It knows the kind of places you should live in. It knows the very place you should live in. It knows where you don't belong. That word knows. In trying to bring itself to pass, it knows what to do. So it now begins to push you along the way by itself. You now find the lines falling for you in pleasant places. That's what I'm going to explain. You now go, you find out that, you, like I said last time, I said minute, you will get a job you did not apply for. You apply for 10 jobs. The one you that was your own is the 11th one, which you did not apply for. Why? Because the word works. That's the meaning of the word works. That is the meaning of the word works. Many of us, our problem is that we are hindering the working of the word. Why? Because our eyes are focused where it's not supposed to be, so that when God wants to lead us in one direction, we pull him in the other direction. And the unfortunate part is that when we are doing that, we are confessing. No? And that's why it's so important that I explain this thing very well. We think we are confessing positively. Meanwhile, we are actually confessing against the working of the word of God. Which is why I tell Christians, what do you do? Just take that word alone and apply it. When I say apply it, I don't mean there are principles. Yes, there are principles. We'll get that one later. But right now, I'm talking about just take that word and speak it over your life all the time. That's what I'm saying. That's what this teaching is about. That's what it's all about. Somebody said that in your whole family, there has never been a rich person. So you need a curse broken. Tell the person, Pastor Banky and the scriptures agree and they said it's a lie. Are you sure you hear what I said? Say amen if you heard it.
Amen.
Say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That's not loud enough. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That's more like it. Say every curse.
Every curse.
Has been broken.
Has been broken.
Off my life.
Off my life.
Say I've been set free.
I've been set free.
I have escaped.
I have escaped.
I am free.
I am free.
That's the truth. It's only those who cannot say in the name of Jesus with confidence that that doesn't apply to. Anyone who has given his or her life to Christ have accepted the grace that is in Christ Jesus as his or her own. That fellow is free. So when people are trying to break poverty, rising up early, then I will not be poor in this life. Going to bed late, me too, I must make money. Sowing dangerous seeds, working hard and hard and hard and hard, and painting picture of prosperity on the wall, forget all of those things. What you are supposed to do, take the word of God and do what? Apply it. You know, like paint. You know, you say apply paint on that wall. You go there and apply it. How do you apply the word? That's what I'm talking about. It's that thing that Paul called the spirit of faith. He said the spirit of faith causes you to talk. He said, look at what we read this, that chapter, verse 13. Having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. What was Paul saying here? If you look at it in context, we do not speak according to what we have experienced. Because the things that we have experienced, they can be very difficult. We have seen affliction. We have been persecuted. We have been struck down. We are always carrying in our body, verse 10, the dying of Jesus. These are the things we have seen. We live constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. That is for the ministry of the Lord Jesus that we are performing in your lives. He said, when you look at us, death appears to be walking. He said, however, we don't speak according to what we have seen. We speak according to what we believe. That's what Paul was explaining. For that reason, we believe that he who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us together with him. We know, because of his, that is the understanding we have of him, he said, we do not lose heart. So if you look at us out of verse 16, our outward man is decaying, yet we are aware that from inside we are being renewed day by day. Why? Because all our afflictions, they are temporary. They are light. For that reason, we fix our eyes on the things that are not seen rather than the things that we have experienced and we can see. Because everything we see are temporal. But the ones we do not see, they are the ones that are permanent. They are the ones that are eternal. What Paul is trying to explain here, we do not speak according to our afflictions. We do not speak according to our experiences. We speak only according to the word of God. And that's what he said in that verse 13, that we believe, therefore we speak. Not we experience, therefore we speak. But we do what?
We
believe, not what we experience. Because Paul was explaining here that our experiences have been very negative. But we are not speaking according to our experiences. We constantly speak according to what we believe. The problem is that a lot of people use their experiences to determine the truth about life. I went to preach somewhere. A woman requested to speak to me. And by the time she finished, her father was a strong man in the occult or something like that. Then he gave his life to Christ. Her brothers were like that. They gave their lives to Christ. They were following their father. And then they became very broke. And they were now having financial issues. Somebody now said they needed to... Now, this is the thing. When we're speaking, after I finished talking with her and everything, something dawned on me. I just called her. I said, wait, are you planning to go to the village to go and do deliverance? The way she smiled and looked at me, I knew I got her. you know somebody you have caught. Indeed, they were planning it. So I said to her, don't try it. I said, is it why? Because the family, her father, her brothers, they've had problems. I said, no, but of course, you know I say all the time, who doesn't have problems? I said, but from the story you have told me about your father and your brothers, they should have problems. If they don't have problems, something will be wrong. You're operating life in a particular dimension before. You now repented. And you now want to start following righteousness. All your business partners must have been corrupt people. All your clients are not normal people. Do you understand my point? You are shedding off the way you knew. You have to learn a new way. It takes a while for it to produce results. It does. That is why faith always goes with patience. Faith always goes with patience. That's why I tell you all the time, if you don't want anybody to make merchandise of your souls, don't believe all this one that they tell you that by tomorrow, your offering you gave today will break all the rules of seed time and harvest. Don't be deceived. Anything you can't do and continue doing, don't start. You won't get any result. Somebody says, go and sell your car and give an offering and get result tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with it, though. If your father was sick and your car will heal him, won't you sell it? Are there wicked people in the house? Won't you sell it? So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if you are trying to use it, because you know when you're selling for your father to get treatment, or your wife, or your child, you know you're not, the only result you're looking for is what? What is that result? The healing, thank you. The health. As you are giving that money, as you are selling that car, do you realize you are not thinking of what the car will bring for you? You are thinking of the health it will procure for your offspring. So we can do things like that, but what is motivating us is the result it will get in the lives of the people or the situation we are spending it in. I'm not saying we can't do that. I'm just trying to say, if you say that you want to do that to get something for yourself, this is a law of the spirit. If you cannot continually make such sacrifices a habit, you will never get any result. That's why the Bible says, don't be weary of doing good. Because in due season, you will get your reward. One more line. If you don't get tired. If you don't faint. Anything that will bring faint into your system denies you of your reward. That's the point I'm trying to get us to understand. Spiritual things, faith always goes with patience. Go and read that Hebrews chapter 6 very well. He said, be followers of those who through faith and quickness inherit the promises. That's what he said? No. Faith and what?
Patience.
What did he say? Faith and?
Patience.
Not loud enough. I want to know you are here. Faith and what?
Patience.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. I told that woman that day, I said, listen, you don't need deliverance. What you need, I'm adding new words to it now, what you need is patience. This, your affliction, is necessary to qualify yourself to really enter into the kingdom. Because Jesus said, well, whosoever will put his hand on the plow and will look back is not worthy of the kingdom. Why would they look back if front was sweet? Why would they look back if handing the plow was sweet? Why would they look back? Were it not that there's something to look back to that is drawing them back in the other direction? I told the woman that, I said, forget it. What happened is that your father, your brothers, they chose the way of Christ. And narrow is the way. Straight is that door. Which one is narrow? Which one is straight now? When the Bible uses the word straight anyway, it doesn't, you know, the way we look at straight, it's as if it's straight. It doesn't bend to the left. In fact, those are the ones they used to draw it for us. They draw a straight road, and then a broad road winds like this. That's not the meaning of the word straight. Straight means it's tight. When you see straight in that context, it was talking about tight. It means it's a door you squeeze through. Your leg first, then your head next, then your shoulder, you know? Then you squeeze, and then finally, your stomach will pass through. That's what the Bible calls straight. Something you negotiate with difficulty. Something that when you are passing through, it will scratch your shoulder. You come out on the other end, you are bruised. I told the woman that that's the problem with your father and your brothers. It is that they have chosen to walk in righteousness. It's straight. It's narrow. It's straight and narrow. When they say straight, it doesn't mean it's you can use a plumb line to measure it. No, it means it's difficult to navigate. I told her like that, not because she wasn't having problems. I'll tell you why I spoke to her like that. I believe, therefore I spoke. Did you hear what I said? I did not speak according to her experiences, the woman I was speaking to. I spoke according to the word of God. People often try to draw doctrine out of their own experiences. And start, you know, that's why many people who they tell stories. One woman, my neighbor, she was sick until her mother-in-law died. After that, she became well. So that woman is the one that was afflicting her. So today, you will pray, everyone who is afflicting me, die. No scriptural background. They come to church one day and say, do you know where your placenta is? Have you ever seen anybody in the Bible ask where somebody's placenta is? Jesus wants to pray for somebody. Say, where is his placenta? Jesus is my Lord. Jesus got to the house of Peter. They say his mother is sick. Say, Mama, just between me and you. What happened to your umbilical cord? Have you seen it in your Bible? All those doctrines are stories. What the Bible calls fables. That's what people do. And the story starts, eh? It's not in the scriptures. Wait, let me tell you. There was one woman that our road. Then there was one man. His business was doing badly until the man found out that it's his father-in-law and his grandfather, coupled with his uncle's sister's brother, that connived. Not one scripture to support it. Do you know how many altars are raised up against you? You are driving a car. When an altar, sell that your car, you make it an altar unto God. Tell the man, okay, I will sell it and give to the poor. Whether the doctrine will not change. It's true. I'm sorry I have to talk like this. Because every day people hear things. People come and start. Have you been eating your dreams? Who did you see your dream last? Check. Everybody you saw in the scripture, Christians that dreamt, the only significant dreams were the ones that dreamt of God. Show me one man in the Bible that dreamt a bad dream. And that was because people were afflicting him. Show me one. If you're a Christian, any dream that's not pulling you towards righteousness is a lie. You hear what I said? If you are swimming in a tree, I hear those kind of things. Let me tell you, the other day, I was dreaming of Kenny Hagin. And I think, was it Kenny Hagin or Bishop Oyedepo? I was dreaming of one of the two of them. And they were trying to do something. There was a tube and we were passing through. And I woke up. Oh, I left my phone playing Kenny Hagin messages. So I was hearing his voice in my dream. And I was creating a story around the man. Many dreams, that's how they come. They are pursuing me in my dream. You are owing people. Go and pay. This is my prophetic word for you today. Pay those who you are owing. Nobody will pursue your dream again. Go and pay. I promise you. Just go and pay. I have found that those who preach all those doctrines, all they have to tell are stories. Somebody say, Pastor Banky, you don't know something, no? I don't know that one. This is the one I know. To the word and to the testimony. He said to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to that word, it's because light has not yet dawned on them. They don't know what they are talking about. That's what I mean by apply. He said, I believe, therefore, I speak. I don't speak according to experiences. I need to emphasize that. Because that's what the issue is with Christianity. People judge their lives based on experiences and other people's stories. I believe. What do I believe? I believe what God has said. I believe that God says, as a type, that is, Israel was used as a type of what the lives of believers would be. I believe that if I run away, in quotes now, from my enemies, from the challenges of life, because they are too difficult for me to handle. You know what the Bible says? It's not because the enemies are strong. He said, why will one chase 1,000? Or two chase 10,000? And he was referring to Israelites, being the 1,000 being chased. Except that their God gave them up. That is, I cannot have affliction and troubles in life if my walking with God is correct. I never worry about what the enemies are doing. It is what I believe. What do I believe? What the scriptures say. I hope you are getting my point. God said, they will gather, but it will not be because of me. Anyone that gathers against you will fall because of you. He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment will be condemned. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of God, and their righteousness is of me. Isaiah chapter 40, 54. Now, this is the point. If I don't experience all of these things, it is not because their gathering is strong. It is not because their tongue is strong. It is because my heart is not united and serving my God. That is all. I believe, therefore I speak. Those who don't speak according to this word, they say, what we will now do? We will fire at the enemies. Go and read the scriptures. It's never like that. They are raising up altars against us.
I keep on saying this thing. Why I have to say it is that people say the opposite so much. You go to the airwaves, tune, listen to, especially when they are rising from Africa. 9 people out of 10 talking on TV. They are lying to people. And then some are even, you know, they are certified liars. They don't believe in God. Yet they come up there and be speaking in the name of Jesus all the time. And I beg the Lord to shut them up rapidly. It's getting on my nerves. That's why we have to keep preaching the truth. How do I solve my problems in life? I speak according to what I believe. And what I believe is that which is recorded. I said last time, I don't confess according to my wishes or my experiences. That's not scripture. If I have problems, like I was saying earlier, there has been no rich man in your family. This is not that. Listen. That was then. This is now. Which family are you even talking about? Is it natural one I was born? This one was born of the spirit, not of flesh. I hope you're getting my point. The former one was born of flesh. Now we're talking of the one that was born of the spirit. If my experiences don't align with what is written, I start declaring, speaking that which is written over my experiences. I don't speak my wishes. Oh. That's what I've been trying to emphasize. Most Christians spend a lot of time prophesying their wishes. 2016 or 2015, my year of buying 2 new cars. Every morning, they're confessing. One is a Lamborghini, the other is a Bugatti. Some people are confessing for what will remove peace from their soul. That's not what I've messaged, anyway, just by the way. We are not confessing our desires. Christians spend a lot of time. What should I confess concerning prosperity as an example? It's simple. There are so many scriptures. I don't need the details. I just need the word. The word will work out the details. When they came to Mary, you will have a son. Such shall these things be. Seeing that I know no man. The angel said that the spirit of God will overshadow you. Now, you know what that spirit was doing? As that word came and the woman said, let it be unto me according to your word. That word organized the manger. That word said, listen. This boy must be born poor. Once the woman accepted that word, that word started working things out. That boy had to be born in Bethlehem. Where was it? I don't know this Christmas story again. He was born in Bethlehem, right? He was living in Nazareth. And his headquarters of ministry was in Capernaum. Yeah, that's how his life was. You know, that's why people, when they came to Nathaniel, they said, come and see. He said, can anything good come out of what? Nazareth. That was a mistake. They thought he was born in Nazareth. The scripture was that he would be born in Bethlehem. What am I going to explain? The word went and said, this boy has to be born in Bethlehem. So that word went and caused Caesar to release a decree that required him to Joseph to move. So Joseph moved with Mary. Said this boy has to be born in the meh-meh zone. You know, meh-meh being the meh-meh. That's what I'm trying to say. So the word went and filled the whole place up. When he reached there, all the hotels were booked. The word timed the labor. Mary did not confess anything more than, be it unto me according to your word. I hope you follow my point. Yet, everything worked out the way God wanted it to work out. The stars responded to the movement. Wise men from the east saw the star and came there. What am I going to explain? Mary didn't have time to say, this son, I confess to you, you shall be born in Bethlehem. In the name of Jesus, you, Jesus, shall be born. She didn't say any of those things. She just gave one word. Be it unto me according to your word. So I want to break the backbone of poverty and experience the prosperity of God. It is simple. Tell somebody, the word works. The word is alive. The word is active. Say the word can think. Thank you. What I do is look for the scriptures that speak against poverty. Plenty of them. My favorite is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was rich, he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich.
That word, I read it, apply it to my life. How do I apply it? Simple. Declare it. I go to work, I declare it. I shake somebody's hand, I declare it. I'm writing an application, I declare it. I'm writing a proposal, I declare it. I'm putting it in for a contract, I declare it. I'm sleeping at home, I declare it. I think about it, I declare it. And I say, be it unto me according to this word. The word should do the thinking. I can't do the thinking. All I do is dwell in the land and cultivate what? Faithfulness. Whatever it is that I'm doing right now, I do it what? Well. I do it well. It becomes my occupy with this until the word manifests. It becomes my occupy with this until the king will send for you and give a decree that will release you from prison. It becomes my occupy with this until the full manifestation of that word comes. You can never by yourself plot what it would be like. You can't. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That is my emphasis. I speak against my life, not by confessing some unnecessary fine details about life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides for the birds of the air. He dresses up the flowers of the field. Much more will he take care of me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need to confess bread and milk or mayonnaise and jam. If God brings manna, I will eat it with thanksgiving. The problem with unnecessary fine detailed confession is that people don't know how to be thankful again. When God brings manna, they say, is there only manna that you can bring? God, I was thinking you bring more than manna. This is manna. The Lord gets allowed for heaven. After all, Egypt could provide all the garnishings, cucumbers, garlic. I don't know why anybody will be remembering garlic. It's just my personal issue. But the Israelites were wishing for garlic. You start dreaming of bad things, so you don't know how to be thankful. They start sitting down there. There's no meat there. Okay, I think I know what's happening. This world is not working well. Otherwise, God would have brought meat with this thing. I believe, therefore I speak. What do I believe? That's my favorite scripture. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly, those that he loves. He perfects everything that concerns them. So if he brings only manna, I eat it with thanksgiving. It's just this manna that you have. Why not? Father, I thank you for manna. I worship you for manna. This is the best thing that I can have in this season. I believe, therefore I speak. I am speaking because of what I know. Like I told you that David Paulson said that if you worry and complain, you are libeling God. You are assassinating his character. That he cares more about his pets and his garden than he does about his children. So I refuse to complain. I refuse to worry. Over every situation, I just declare the word of God. The blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrow. You know, I actually use that in this. This is why I quoted that. Sometimes something comes into my life, it's supposed to be a blessing. It's causing me some commotion. And God has helped me in life to a large extent. I keep on getting better every day. I'm not there yet. That's why we keep working every day. But I don't worry about things. You've never heard me worry about something I don't have. I learned it very long ago. I learned it long ago, not today. When my salary will buy food, 15th of the month, guaranteed I was broke. There was a time like that. It was guaranteed, not a peradventure. No. 15th of the month, I went broke. So I was very wise. I bought food the first week of the month. So even if you are broke, you can eat. And then, why go anyways? When you go out, that you start spending money. If you stay at home, you won't spend money. And I was the type that, God told me, okay, if you go to church, won't you give offering? If I don't have, I won't give it. I give it at the beginning. You see, people say, I don't believe in all this offering every Sunday. It's when the money comes, we share it. I was a salary, and did you get my point? At the end of the month, they pay salary. So everybody gets a portion. Church, this is your portion. Pastor, this is your portion. If it's small, I'll help you save it and give you at the end of 3 months. Yeah, I used to do things like that. Maybe I look and say, Pastor, this is your portion, go small. It don't look nice to give you money like this, so no, just wait. So when I go accumulate them for you, so when it comes, it will be nice. You know that kind of thing? Yeah, that's what I used to do. And I agree, but when it comes to giving offerings, I know it's difficult for you to walk past an offering basket. Walk past it. If you don't have money. But when the money comes, that's the issue. Share it. This, you have parents, honor thy father and thy mother. This is for my parents. I'm taking care of maybe one of my cousins or one of my brothers. All right. This is their own portion. This one is for food. Okay, my church, this is your portion. That is no arrangement here. I'm sharing it equitably. If we are 15, do you understand? We divide into 15 portions. There's one old man that I was, like one of my friends, he does something. There's an elderly minister where they are preaching. So the man is labored in that area for a very long time. Financially, he's not doing very well, and he doesn't own his own house. So what they do, where he lives, three of them preachers, they rotate paying his rent. They are younger ministers. God bless them a little bit more than him financially. So they rotate the paying of the man's rent. Say, you, it's your portion, it's your turn. Now I'm paying his rent. Three of them. So if you're involved in things like that, say, this is the portion. This, you know, of course, you're not being rigid, none of these things. Just give each person his portion. Don't give to Paul the one that belongs to Peter. If your church is building a building, that's their problem. Don't take your father's portion and give to that church. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
If your father wants to change his car, that's his problem. Don't go and take your church's portion and give to your father. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Each man, this is your portion. You see, just tell them your heart. Don't worry. Just manage with me for now. The time is coming. That's what I used to do. So every Sunday you give, let me tell you how to handle the Sunday. Do you want to learn tricks of life? Just go and look for crisp, depending on your level in life. It can be crisp 50-50 naira notes or 100-100 naira if you don't have much money and keep it. This one is just to fulfill all righteousness. They say, don't come to church without bringing anything. It's not in the Bible, but just obey them. It's not in the scriptures. I hope that is not in the Bible. It's not scripture at all. So you never appear before the Lord empty. Israel used to appear 3 times a year. You go to church every Sunday. In fact, 2 times a week. And when you do program, 5 times. Is it a lie? What I'm trying to explain is that was the way I did it. That was the way. I know where I digressed from. I know where I said. You do it like that. But make sure that at the beginning of the month, when you collected last month's salary, share it. Make sure everybody gets his own. That one, the envelope will be different in size. My salary has come. Maybe I'm earning little. The portion of my church is 5,000. I have put it inside. Collect. My father's portion, I have gone to greet him. I have given it to him. Yes, you know, just arrange your life. Give to each person his portion. Even Jesus said there's some things that belong to Caesar. Give it to Caesar. If you are supposed to pay local government their portion for putting signboard outside, give it to them. Don't let them come and be looking for you. Are you getting my point? And your landlord is a man of God. Give him his own offering. You don't know your landlord is a man of God? Yeah, you don't seem convinced. Anyone who's helping you do the will of God for your life, is not blessing you? Shouldn't you sow into his life? It's not rent, it's a seed. Who are you? You know, people who are helping you fulfill the scriptures, you should bless them. The Bible says you will live in houses you did not build. The man built a house you are living in. Shouldn't you honor him? What am I going to say? Pay your landlord. Pay the man. Stop waiting for the man to be knocking. He said, but the house rent is too high. Leave the place, go and look for a cheaper one. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes. Bishop Oyedepo said, leave your size per time. Pay the man.
Don't buy, if you buy shirt, you pay 6 times. May it tear in Jesus' name. Say amen. People go buy blouse. June last year, they are still paying. You should know your head is not totally correct. You are paying for the cloth long after it has started developing holes. It's not the will of God. You know? Bend down, select, you know? That is the one you can buy, buy it. And then if, as an example, you are size 9 or you are size 11 and you see me that I change shoes a lot, say, ah, Pastor, this is your shoes plenty. How far? The Lord speaking to you. It sounds funny, but if you have friends that, there's nothing, some people say, no, I can't wear somebody else's thing. The one you are buying in the market. Now, madman wear them for America. It's pride that's your problem. Pride. The one you bought, new, not many people tested it. You went to the shop, yeah, this one is brand new. Come yesterday. The guy who tested it is on cocaine. God, let me show that shoe. That's why he tells the thing. Put his evil spirit inside it. They removed it and hung it there. Don't come and tell me that I can't wear something somebody else has worn. You are proud. Poverty will stay with you for a very long time. I'm serious. These are the, oh God, these are the practical tips of life. I know why I digress into that. Next time you buy a suit, 12 months later you are still paying. May God punish you. Say amen. There are different kinds of punishment. You won't go to hellfire. So don't be afraid to say amen. There are different kinds of punishment. How can you be paying for a suit for 12 months? Only. You don't want to pay. If you wanted to pay, you won't buy it. See, women buy jewelry, gold. They are paying 6 months later. Meanwhile, you know what I like about jewelry? The value of the jewelry is who's wearing it. It's not the thing itself. Am I lying? One day, I don't know. If I tell you something, you are going to laugh. One day, I left my ring in the office. I won't tell you which of the rings. I have many of them. So I was washing my hand. I removed it. So I was leaving. So my credit secretary said, you left your ring. So I said, oh, so thank you. So I collected and wore it back. Say, I was just collecting today. I don't make money with that. I said, madam, I bought that thing for 1,000 naira. The woman looked at it. Said, let me see it. Look at it now. It says 1,000 naira. She said, what? I said, you see, once I'm wearing it, you assume it's 75,000. A good name is better than an expensive ring. The woman said, no, let me see it. You collected that day. Look. Now you won't know which one. So you can't even tell. So, so if you are buying jewelry, you are paying after 6 months, may the Lord punish you. Say amen. Amen. There are different kinds of punishments. You won't go to hellfire, but a thief might steal it and deliver you from all evil. If a gentle thief steals it, a wicked one will not be able to steal it. Is that not the goodness of God? Prosperity is not what you look like. It's the contentment in your heart. Do you get my point? How did I go into all of that? I hope I'm helping some people today. I know where I went to do that. I know the very point where I moved into that. So in my life, if I told the story before, the first time I bought a shirt that had color in modern times was when I got married. Today you see me now. What's the color of this one? Okay, so some people say all kinds of colors. Anyway, I'm happy you are confused as to the color. Because you are sure it's not white. There was a time you came to my house, all my shirts were white. You know why? Because even if there are only three, you can't tell. Wash it, starch it lightly, iron it neatly, put a tie, and go to work. They will say, man, that guy is very neat, always wearing white. They won't know, man, our condition caused this white wearing. The moment life changed, that's when you realize that I was not a white man. I like color. I bought blue, bought green, I even have red shirt. I even have black. Yes, any color now. But that time, why should I buy anything more than white? You have money for only one suit. You are buying turquoise blue. And only one suit you buy. You're on your own. If it's only one suit, bros, buy black. And navy blue. That is the one the Lord said you should buy. You put your life at peace. And if you say you have a cousin that's well to do and is your size, and he's always wearing a suit. Ask him, say, oh boy. This is your suit. When you've won your portion, what happens to the rest? Go and teach him the law of gleaning. The Bible says you must not harvest your field to the corners. How can you wear this suit to the corner? I hope I'm teaching you how to make life easy for yourself. The problem with him, you see, once pride is not in your soul, you can be very happy. Once you don't have pride, you can be very happy. Back to what I was saying. I now know where I digress from. I told you I didn't forget where I digress from. God taught me this thing very long ago, so I don't sweat over anything. I don't. If I can't have it, it's too bad. I don't need it. If it won't come to me easy, material thing, I lie. I won't sweat over it. So anytime I get something material and it's not blessing me easy, I speak a word over it. What I've described to you now is the lifestyle I lived for a very long time. Ask my wife. I had contentment in my soul. I told that the story I like to tell is that there was that I even had some money. I didn't remember to buy shoes. I didn't. Because I was listening to the word of God so much, I was so happy. I did not know I should buy shoes to improve my life. Well, some of my friends gathered to laugh at my shoes. And they said, Banky, what is this? I said, it's shoe. Why is it facing heaven? I said, what is wrong with it? They almost counseled me, Banky, this is not right. This is not right. I said, okay. Then one day I was in my cousin's office in Lagos, and it rained, so there were puddles everywhere. And I stepped into one of the puddles. I don't know how the water passed through the thick leather sole and entered into my socks. So the thick rubber sole. So I picked the shoe and looked under, and I discovered that the spirit had boiled a hole inside it. So I finally took counsel. I went to the market and bought two pairs of very heavy, powerful Italian shoes. I'm telling you, I had the money. You know the interesting thing? One day, I went somewhere, I won't tell you where. And there was one brother there. He came for the meet, also a brother, you know, my junior. Now I was looking at his feet. So why is this guy wearing this shoe? I was so like, what is wrong? Can this guy see the shoe is torn? So I called and said, come here. I removed my shoe, said, test that one. Is it your size? He said, I just bought it though. Is it your size? He said, yes, sir. Don't wear the other one again. I come off my shoe, I give him. I was left with one of the other two. Because what is life? Are you carrying shoe to heaven? No, what I'm trying to say is that, listen, no, leave your, don't be, you don't stress yourself about material, it's not necessary. Can't drive if you don't own a car, take a taxi. If you can't pay for a taxi, enter a bus. If bus is too much, okay. Everybody's at your service. A man that has a car has one car. You have everybody in town. How many drivers do you have? Like 5,000. You know, anywhere, you can call any of your drivers anytime. You just stop here like this. And you know, there's nothing like, good afternoon, sir. Hey, you come. College Road. Yes, sir. Sit down here. You're a rich man, you don't know that. And if he stops anywhere, he's doing vroom, vroom, he's not starting. You call another of your drivers. You just come down and say, hey, you come. Then they carry you again at your service nationwide. If you know how to reason, you're going to say life, sweet. That's it. Those days in Lagos, hold up. What do you concern you if you hold up tomorrow? You come down now. But those guys who own the car, they will stay inside. Where a man's treasure is, there is heart with yours. There are two people who go to work. They will leave work at, this really happens, you know Lagos now. They leave work at 7 p.m. 3 a.m. they are just driving inside the house. Why? Because of hold up. Where a man's treasure is, there is heart. But those who didn't own the cars, they have come out since. As they say, it's not moving. Conductor, I'm coming down, open the door. They come down, cross to where They can use leg to cross to the other side, cross to the other side, and call another driver. You, carry me home. By 9, they're at home. Those who own cars are still there. Ping, ping, ping. And they come home at 3 a.m. Today, the holdup was bad. It's because you had a car. There's always a blessing in every affliction. You have to know how to reason. Those days in Lagos say there's no fuel. What do you concern person? Should they use fuel? The only thing we pay a little more to our drivers that we hire. That's the bus driver, the bus conductor. And then please, when you want to enter a bus, be nice to the conductor. He's blessing your life. The driver is a minister of God to advance your ministry. Stop shouting on him. Enter the bus and ask him simply, how are you doing? How's work today? Come on, be patient. You don't have to be in a hurry like that. Talk to him nicely. Don't let the 15 naira you're paying be causing you to vex for the populace, you know, are angry. Come on, stop it. They're not trying to stop it. What's wrong with your hands? Why are you driving like this? Be nice to somebody for goodness sake. Shake the conductor, God bless you. You know, talk to the guy nicely. You know why? He's a minister of God sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. Amen? Yeah. See the way Christians reason. That's how. Why should you have high blood pressure for anything? You rejoice and be glad. Amen? All right, the Lord is good. I know where I digress from. Just at that digression, I'm stuck on it. I'm helping a lot of people. No stress in your life again. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
No stress in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't ever buy a shirt to impress the woman you want to marry. If you do that, she won't marry you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Unless you repent. Anything you can't afford, don't do it because you are chasing a woman. No? Mm-hmm. I'm serious. Once men see women, their head knows they walk again. I don't know why. You start buying suya. When you know how to spell it. Suya is not bad. If you can't afford it, forget it. You can't afford it, you don't buy gala. I mean, that one is easier to spell. There's a sign for everything, amen? I'm not saying you shouldn't buy suya, but what I mean is that if you can't afford it, relax. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I always like to add my story. The engagement ring I gave my wife was 300 naira. This wife. Not the one I married before, this one. This is the only one I've ever married. The engagement ring was how much? How much did I call it? 300 naira. Why will you do that? Because that was what I could afford. I always like to add other stories. The day came, it was her birthday. I bought two rings, not now. This was about 10 years ago. Two rings for 50,000 naira. So don't think I'm against fine things. Yes, one day I was coming back. I traveled. I hopped in Dubai. So before we boarded the flight to Lagos, I checked my pocket. I checked my things in everything. I didn't need money again. I checked my pocket. I said I had $100. I walked up to the counter. Give me a ring there. Picked one. But there was a time. 300 naira ring was what I could afford. And she collected it. And wore it and married me in Jesus' name. Amen. It's true. You want to marry, you want to buy something. You are not married yet, though. You are planning a wedding for next year. It's the woman's birthday this year. You are owing money to buy birthday present. 12 now, you are on drugs. We need deliverance. Waiting. I bet you, sisters, let these guys do the will of God. And none of you is like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Be happy, you know. Anyway, how did I get there? All these guys are very happy now. They are going to go home feeling very free. Jesus is coming. No feeling happy today. Okay, let me just tell you, a day will come where you will buy a ring for 500,000. Say amen now.
Amen.
You People say, what is a Christian doing with a ring of 500,000 naira? I said, he's paying for the times he bought a ring of 500. That's what he's doing with it. By that time, you will have prospered. Giving us 500,000 as offering will be a normal thing. Amen. Say amen, not like you want it.
Amen.
It will happen to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said it will happen to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me end my message, please. My time is gone. The point I was making, I just really digressed from. And that's when they say that because God taught me this a very long time ago, anything that comes into my life is guaranteed to bless me. Because I don't hustle for things. I don't break my head for them. So if something comes to my life, it looks like it doesn't want to bless me, I give it the scripture. The blessing of God, they make rich. And they don't add sorrows. You are not allowed to give me sorrow. That's it. If it's a car, I tell you that. If it's a phone, I tell you that. If it's a shirt, I tell you that. Whatever it is, I tell you the truth. What is the truth? The blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrows. You are not allowed to give me sorrows. I tell that to all my children. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. And the blessing of God, and I say, blessed is the one who has a quiver full of them. So I say to all of them, you are a blessing. You cannot bring sorrows into my life. You will behave well in Jesus' name. Not because you want it, but because the word of God decrees it. I paint you with God's word. That word knows how to bring koboko into your life. And how to bring blessing. It brings everything, but you must conform. Because you are not allowed to give me sorrows. I hope you got my point. Talking about the spirit of faith. That is how we handle. That's what faith is. That's how we solve things with the word of God. Every situation in life, there is a word that has addressed it. And that is what we go after. We paint that situation with God's word. We declare with our tongue. We speak that word. He said, we believe, therefore we speak. We don't speak according to what we feel. We don't speak according to what we hear. We don't speak according to what we have experienced. We force those things that we are experiencing to conform with that which is written. How do we do that? We simply don't change our minds. We know that which is written, and we constantly speak according to that which is written. I hope you've gotten my point. We constantly speak according to that which is written. Jesus said we should pray like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven, as it is written in heaven. That is what we believe. That which is written in heaven. That is what we speak. That which is written in heaven. I hope you've gotten my point. Come by our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks. Let us quickly thank him. Say, Lord, we thank you. 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 Let's rise to our feet. Remember last time I explained something, that what we experience in life is the judgment of God, not his will. That our responsibility is to make sure that his will merges with his judgment. Can you remember that? That is, God has to decree what happens in our lives. Is our assignment to always, all right? Our assignment it is to always ensure that the decree of God, the judgment of God, lines up with his will. His will is written. For it to be done, Jesus said, pray, thy will be done. And what is his will? That which is written. So let's declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Freedom is written for me.
Freedom is written for me.
Poverty has been destroyed for me.
Poverty has been destroyed.
Say, healing is mine.
Healing is mine.
Sound health is mine.
Sound health is mine.
Say, prosperity is mine. Say, righteousness is mine.
Righteousness is mine.
Ability to walk above sin, that is my portion.
Ability to walk above sin, that is my portion.
That is the will of God concerning me.
That is the will of God concerning
me. Say, that is the will of God concerning me.
That is the will of God concerning.
And I speak in prayer right now.
I say, thy will be done.
Say it again, will of God,
will of God
be done in my life.
Be done in my life.
Say it again, will of God,
will of God
be done in my life.
Be done in my life.
Say, the lines are falling for me in pleasant places.
I have a good heritage.
Say, the word of God is working in my life.
The word of God is working in my life.
Now listen to this. For example, the word of God says that we know the grace of the Lord Jesus. That's what we use as an example all this while. In that he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor,
so that we, by through his poverty, might be made rich. That word is working in your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That word is bringing me my job.
That word is bringing me my
skill. That word is bringing me my customers.
That word is helping me serve them.
And they will give to me for my services. That's how Christians prosper. What I've said now is a summary of it. The foundation of it is the word of God. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The word is alive.
The word is alive.
And it's active.
And it's working on my behalf.
It's bringing me my food.
It's
teaching me what to eat.
It's
taking poisons out of my life.
But if I eat any deadly thing,
it will not hurt me.
It's
important too. I tell Christians, stop cursing your food all the time. They give Christian food. Does it have saturated oil? Is there cholesterol inside? What degree of salt does it have? You will ask so many questions, you can't even say, thank you, Jesus. When they give you food, you know what you do? You give thanks and then eat without asking questions. Anything that will hurt you, the world will not allow it. Say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
Stop dissecting your food. There's this madness in the world today. There's what they even call calorie counting. You collect food, you first calculate your height, your weight, and your total body ratio, whatever that means, before you eat. The world has gone mad. Our brother Bishop told me that. He said the world will take a bad egg, coat it with sugar, and call it scotch egg, and give it to you to eat. You won't know you're eating bad egg. I'm not saying scotch egg is bad food. I'm just saying that that's just a principle. They take bad egg. A lot of nonsense people operate by now is bad things. Yeah, they think they have wisdom. You give a man food, say, is this white meat or red meat? You know, I'm a pathologist. One day I sat down and did some research and found that it's arrant nonsense. They say it's brown sugar or yellow sugar or white sugar. If you don't want chopped sugar, leave it now. Not by force. Listen, when they give you food, you know the first thing you do? All these hungry people, you see an African looking like they say, I know they eat cholesterol. Eat now, you don't see them before. Person who if you talk, say, no, they chop cholesterol, must have plenty. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Say a man that only sees egg to eat when he goes to visit. Say, I'm not eating cholesterol. Let me not go there. Otherwise, I won't go home today. I'll be lying to people day and night. This is my commandment. This is the word of God for you. When you see food, what do? You give thanks. And your food will not hurt you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some people say they are doing hallelujah diet. I told my friend who was doing it, I said, this is the doctrine of demons. How many of you have said earlier diet? Say, no cooked food before 12 o'clock. After that, what do you eat? Half of your food must be fresh food. Anyway, it's when you are eating and you are full, you can do hallelujah diet. No poor man can do hallelujah diet. The budget is expensive. That's why the Bible says the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. He has given them enough money to eat. If you are too rich and you are not sharing the money, you're going to do hallelujah diet. And that's nonsense. The most important part of your food is the first minute of what? Thanksgiving. Stop cursing your food. You lay hands on the food. This food, you have cholesterol, you will give me heart attack. Why do you do that? Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
My food will not hurt me.
My food will not hurt me.
Because it is written.
Because it is written.
The blessing of God makes rich.
And does not add sorrows.
Say, whatever the Lord gives me,
I receive it with thanksgiving.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, healing is mine.
Divine health is mine.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Declare it again. Divine health is my portion.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Another
thing I should remind you of. Age is not a disease. What did I say?
Age is not a disease.
The age is allowed to do only one thing for you. That's make you wise. Stop giving excuses to Satan. I don't see well again. It's my age. I get tired easily. It's my age. Tell your neighbor, age is not a disease. Say, God will renew the vitality of your youth. Shake the person's hand. Say, brother or sister Caleb, whatever the person is. Call the person Caleb. Say, your name is Caleb. It's well with you in Jesus' name. In case you don't know who Caleb is a man who was the same strength at 40 as he was, and at 85 as he was when he was 40. God sustained his strength. At 85, he was leading a charge of soldiers. Shake that person again. Say, brother Caleb or sister Caleb.
Yes.
It is well with you. Say,
all promises of health,
they are health in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a minute, pray for that person. Say, you are praying for the person. Hold the person. Say, I rebuke every pain, every affliction, every troubles, anything that's inside your body that is not in line with the will of God. I command it to get out. Right now, invoke the name of Jesus upon it. The blood of Jesus has forgiven of your sins. Therefore, no sickness should hold you down. No sickness should hold you down. Body, I speak to you. Receive the resurrection life of Christ. Receive the resurrection life of Christ. Be well totally in the name of Jesus. Be well totally from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Receive strength. Receive strength in every part of your body. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks.